Well, last week we asked, or began asking, what is the church? It's a very important question we ought to revisit from time to time. And we began looking to answer this by observing Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37 through 41. We learned that the church there is one family that have at least these things in common. They've been called by God. They have demonstrated repentant faith in Jesus Christ. They have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And as a result of God's activity in the lives of these brothers and sisters, the family of God lives as a forgiven people, empowered by the Spirit to pursue the Lord's mission of making disciples. All this we learned is available, praise the Lord, to anyone. Near or far, insiders, outsiders, regardless of social status, background, past experiences, geography, etc. And now that we've come to understand what we might call a definition of the church or a definition of the family of God, today we're going to discuss the development of the church, the growth of the family of God, as we continue in Acts chapter 2. For you see, if in week one we learned that the church is one family in Christ, this week in answering what is the church, we're going to learn that the family of God is a family of disciples, growing and developing disciples. And we ought not be surprised by this, as really in Scripture, any family's health, church or not, is measured in part by means of its development and growth. In fact, one of the first mandates given to the first family to ever exist, Adam and Eve, was to be fruitful and what? Multiply. A mandate that assumes development to maturity and later multiplication. But how was this kind of development achieved in the context of the church? Well, those activities that contribute to such growth or development in and among disciples in the family of God are described in a single verse in Acts chapter 2, 42, where four directions of devotion are identified. And so if you have your copy of the text with you this morning, turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verse 42. If you would stand in honor of reading God's Word, I'll read it. We will pray, and the Spirit will teach us this morning. It'll also be on the screen. It says there, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, may we be found as a family of disciples who are developing because we, as we've read here, are devoted to the kinds of activities that foster the kind of growth that pleases you and glorifies you in keeping with your word. Stir our hearts to re-examine what we might do and give ourselves to so that we could see these kinds of activities purposefully devoted in the life of this church and in the life of our family. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. You may be seated. Again, we're going to look at four directions of devotion that develop disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in this verse. And the first is toward the apostles' teaching in verse 42, in the first part. In many ways, what Luke offers in verse 42 of Acts 2 is a summary statement of the activity that characterized new disciples in the early church. In this summary statement, four key activities are identified that are all pursued with the same vigor that is described in the verb continually devoting themselves. This verb means to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication of with difficulty. In other words, it's an uncomfortable kind of effort that is envisioned here, one that requires exertion, persistence, and a great deal of energy that is pursued and focused upon it. And this is accentuated by the form that this verb takes and the tense that it takes, which is accurately translated in what translation we just finished reading from, continually or persistently devoting themselves. And the active voice of this verb also highlights the personal effort extended in the direction of these various activities we're going to look at. In fact, Paul uses this same verb in Romans 12 and Ephesians 6 when he describes the kind of devotion he wanted to see in believers' prayer lives. It's this kind of intense, persistent, uncomfortable effort. And it's a constant and intrinsically uncomfortable efforting that is in view here. It's the kind of devotion that requires exertion and even sacrifice. And if we really understand what is described here, we have to ask ourselves, as I've had to this past week, what, if anything, in my life do I pursue in that kind of a way? And as I began to think about it, I was convicted by how few things I could offer by way of an honest answer. What are those things that you're pursuing with that kind of intensity? Encapsulated in this word that's used here. And to be sure, what follows this verb, the direction in which this intense effort is focused, will reveal for us as readers what practices that were a matter of the highest importance for the infant movement that we're reading about here in the early church. And the same activities ought to be pursued by church families today if they're going to be consistent with what is described here, and if they're going to develop or grow as the family of God should. And the first direction of this persistent effort, this vigorous devotion, is toward the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. Now, the role of the apostles in the early church was understandably significant because of their unique connection to Jesus during his ministry and their eyewitness of him following his resurrection. They were the ones entrusted with passing on to these new converts or young disciples a full account of Jesus' life and teaching. And no doubt, this would have included much of what would later be found in what we now have in the Gospels. But not only would the apostles share the recent history of Jesus, making sure to emphasize his unique identity as God made flesh and his unparalleled work of providing salvation, but these same apostles would have also made sense of the Old Testament, given who Christ was and what he accomplished, explaining how the Messiah had come to fulfill many prophecies. Throughout the early history of the church, grounding new believers in the apostles' teaching was a major priority. And so it should be today in the growth and development of the family of God. As any cell in the body's growth and development is dependent on the DNA found in its nucleus, so too is the body of Christ's health, growth, and maturity and development dependent on the spiritual DNA that is encoded in God's Word. Perhaps this is why Peter will say in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it, what? You may grow in respect to salvation. And Paul encourages the congregation in Corinth to then graduate from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word in later stages of maturation in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, because the Word of God is meant to be regularly consumed and pursued as disciples mature and as the family of God develops. After all, it is the Word of God that is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword and penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit of joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It is the Word of God that is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As far as our church is concerned, this is why we are logocentric or word-centered in what we preach and what is taught. It is the Word of God that is foundational for the disciple of God. And to that, they should be devoted. In anything we do by way of discipleship as we seek to be on mission, devotion to the Word of God must be a priority, of first importance. We ought to eagerly endorse and create venues in which the Word of God can be approached, discussed, and applied regularly if we're going to grow and develop as the family of God, as it is the repository of God's revelation for His people. But friends, that's not the only direction to which this kind of intense devotion is directed. The second direction this devotion took in the life of the early church was toward fellowship. Toward fellowship. Now, while the verb is not repeated in every subsequent activity highlighted in this verse, it's important to acknowledge that grammatically, each of these pursuits is governed by the same verb. It's governed by the same vigorous pursuit as was described earlier, this continual devotion. Therefore, one might read this next phrase, and they were continually devoting themselves to fellowship. The word fellowship denotes a close association of mutual relations and involvement. Just as it was important to be informed by the Word as the early church grew and developed, so too was close and consistent association, actively engaging and involving oneself in the lives of other brothers and sisters. In other words, it was important to see these early disciples to spend much time with their church family, time even beyond their regular corporate weekly meetings. And such time would have been spent discussing the apostles' teaching, encouraging and challenging each other, enjoying one another in the family bond that the Spirit had forged between them. It is the kind of participatory interaction that would have stimulated them to love and good deeds and allowed them an opportunity to show love and hospitality one to another. And while certainly such fellowship was enjoyed in large gatherings at regular weekly services in the early church, the first of which was enjoyed earlier in this very passage, Luke's report of what transpired after Pentecost suggests that fellowship extended to more intimate settings also. After all, intimacy makes for more meaningful fellowship for those who participate. And as the family of God grew, fellowship in more intimate settings was a major contributor of that growth. The cells grew, as did the entire body. And so it should be today, in the growth or development of the family of God. For if the Word provides the DNA that the cell requires on both a micro and macro level in the growth or development of the family, then intimate fellowship provides the environment needed for the cell to thrive and the conditions for it to thrive. Therefore, we ought to eagerly endorse and pursue with great vigor venues in which the Word of God can be approached, discussed, and applied, and meaningful fellowship can be pursued if we're going to grow and develop as the family of God. Amen. However, what elements mark appropriate, life-giving, growth-producing, development-inducing fellowship? What factors create an environment that is conducive for healthy growth of the cells and therefore, the body at large? Well, thankfully, the remaining two directions of devotion provide the answer. The third direction to which this devotion was centered is toward the breaking of bread. With the same persistent passion that the Word and fellowship were pursued, so too did the early church direct its devotion toward the breaking of bread. This phrase refers to a lot of things. In fact, it's probably idiomatic for any number of activities that took place, including things like the Lord's Supper that the church was encouraged to take together, but also including ordinary meals taken together. And this practice of food, feeding, fellowship, in the context of intimate settings, was consistent with how many people related to each other in the ancient world. Most special groups in antiquity ate together. And from what we know of biblical and extra-biblical sources, table fellowship denoted intimacy and trust. In fact, oftentimes table fellowship was accompanied with music or other entertainment or activities. But also discussions and even lectures were frequent at common meals in antiquity. It would appear as though early Christian fellowship took advantage of what was practiced in and around the world to foster meaningful relationships and imbued it with what would drive them to a better understanding of who God was and what His plan was for their lives. As they gathered together, they broke bread together in intimate worship and sharing and learning and participating with each other. And so it should be today in the growth or development of the family of God. For if the Word provides the DNA that the cell requires on both a micro and macro level in the growth or development of the family of God, and if intimate fellowship provides an environment needed for the cells to thrive in that body, then what's called breaking bread here, or food or fun, feeding, fellowship, acts as the stimulation necessary for the cells in the body to interact well with each other as the whole grows and develops. We ought to eagerly endorse and create venues in which the Word of God can be approached, discussed, and applied regularly, where meaningful fellowship can be pursued on an intimate and appropriate level, and where fellowship can be encouraged along by the kinds of things that stimulate close relationships. If we're going to grow and develop as the family of God. And this leaves us with the final direction to which this devotion was pointed, and that is toward prayer. Toward prayer. They were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Consistent and persistent prayer was something that many of these Jewish Christians were familiar with, given that the Jews were known for setting aside at least 3 times a day to pray, even in the Old Testament. We remember the story of Daniel, who was pursuing the Lord in prayer in that way. And to be sure, these new believers prayed, both privately and corporately, and their prayers probably centered on blessing and praising God, as well as asking Him for guidance and boldness in doing things like proclaiming the gospel message. And to be ever prayerful is something that is reiterated throughout the New Testament. Matthew 26, 41, Jesus calls His disciples there to watch and pray. Literally, be watching and ever prayerful so that you will not fall into temptation. Later, Paul will say in Ephesians 6, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. In James 5:13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, be prayerful and offer petitions with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Friends, prayer is the lifeline of the people of God. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. It's one of the highest privileges afforded to us as believers, and we neglect it to our detriment as individuals and as a church body. The early church understood how utterly dependent upon the Lord they were for everything, their survival, their sustainability, their growth, their development, which is why they were given to, consistent in, passionate about, and ever pursuant of prayer. And we must come to understand, remember, and do the same if we hope to grow, mature, and develop as the family of God today. If the apostles' teaching provided the DNA the cell required on both a micro and macro level in the growth and development of the family of God, an intimate fellowship provides the environment needed for the cells to thrive in that body, and breaking bread acts as a stimulation necessary for the cells to interact well with each other as the whole grows and develops, then prayer is the life-giving energy and nourishment that is responsible for all the rest that takes place. Therefore, we ought to eagerly, with vigor, even to the point of it making us uncomfortable, pursue and endorse venues in which the Word of God can be approached, discussed, and applied regularly, where meaningful fellowship can be pursued on an intimate and appropriate level, where that fellowship can be encouraged along by the same kinds of things that stimulate close relationships, and where fervent prayer is endorsed as a major priority if we're going to grow and develop as the family of God. As the family of God began to grow in the early church, they directed their devotion to these practices that fostered the right kind of development: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. The disciples pursued these things with great vigor and effort, even or especially when it required sacrifice or discomfort. And it is a sacrifice and naturally uncomfortable to pursue these kinds of things. After all, it takes focus to pursue the apostles' teaching. Focus that's hard to come by in a world filled with distractions. Fellowship with others is hard, given busy schedules, both then and now, and the natural predisposition to take care of me. Breaking bread or extracurricular engagement requires time and planning. And prayer is difficult. It's mysterious. It's sometimes very uncomfortable. And it's why Luke holds no punches when he describes the kind of effort that is implicit in the disciples' devotion here. He knows these things are hard. And it's also why the disciples in the early church pursued these things in the context of intimate settings beyond the regular gatherings. Their weekly gatherings, which Hebrews describes should not be neglected, and that's absolutely true, were not able to accomplish or accommodate all of these things. More is needed. A different kind of engagement is required for us to grow and develop as the family of God should. Smaller groups create opportunities to engage in these disciple-growing practices. More intimate settings allow for accountability in these integral areas. Close associations with brothers and sisters, like cells in a body, allow for growth of both the individual and the whole. And this is why that God has impressed upon my heart that as a church body, we need to eagerly pursue and create venues for such venues to take shape. Groups where connections can form that foster the development of disciples in keeping with our church's mission of making disciples. And I'm so convinced that such groups are paramount to the disciple-making process, that we've been prayerful and spending so much time and energy and effort in seeing such groups take shape here at Salem Baptist Church. And it's at this time that I want to let you know about something that we are vigorously pursuing and devoted to that's coming down the line that we're going to continue to share with you in the coming weeks. On February 19th, which, yes, don't worry, it's the week after the Super Bowl, all right? That was strategic too. We are going to be kicking off on Sunday evenings what we're calling Salem Connect. We're going to provide you at Salem Connect some training and some instruction from God's Word on what groups like this could really look like, what shape they could really take here at Salem Baptist Church. It's an opportunity for us to invest in those who are really serious about seeing this kind of thing take place in the life of this church. Some of you in here may not be connected yet to a group, be it on Sunday morning or anywhere else, but you long for that. You know you're in life, you know you need that kind of fellowship and intimate relationship. You're not yet connected to this body in a special way. This is for you. This is for you to come and say, you know what, I want to be connected to this body. I want to learn what that might look like, how that might take shape. And this isn't going to look like it will the first week every week, but we want to bring people who are passionate about pursuing this, Acts 2:42, together to say, look, this is what this could look like here. And we're going to invest and we're going to spend time approaching God's Word and ever prayerful to see what might that look like here at Salem Baptist Church. What shape might that take? Because friends, I'm convinced that this is absolutely important as we consider where God wants to take us in the future. It's absolutely important considering what we believe God's mission is for us, which is to make disciples of all nations. Notice it doesn't say make students, or doesn't say make Bible scholars. The Word of God does not say make know-it-alls. It says make disciples, which is as much about developing what we know of God's Word and also applying it to our lives in ways that have us thinking outside of ourselves and toward those around us with the love and nourishment that comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you'll pray about joining us for this. It might be that we're going to offer another option earlier or some other time for those who might not want to come out late. We'll let you know about that. We haven't discussed that yet, but this is what we're going to be putting a lot of energy behind. You say, well, what about a class? You did such a good job in the class that you offered last year on apologetics. And you know what? There's nothing more that I love than to teach. I love to teach. I'm self-aware to know that God's given me a gift to teach. It's comfortable for me to teach. But friends, the Lord has revealed to me that even more than another class, this is what our church needs. This is where our church needs to go. I heard from somewhere, I can't remember the source, but it was shared with me recently, and I'll find the source later. We might learn in rows, but we don't grow in rows. We grow in circles. We need to grow together. We need to grow and develop the way the church was designed to grow and develop. As we seek to be on mission and provide connection for those who God is bringing here. But it's not going to translate unless the Spirit of God does a work in your life and in my life to pursue this with humility and grace and generosity of spirit as we seek to pursue this together as a church body. So I pray that you'll be praying for that. And that if you can or are interested in it, you might join it. And you know what? If you're not interested, don't come. I don't want you to stifle what God wants to do by coming and just, you know, nitpicking or whatever. I'm serious. But if you're passionate about seeing this happen in the life of this church and eager to say, you know what, I want to learn more about this, what this could look like, we invite you to come. And we'll talk more about what that will look like in the coming weeks. But maybe you're here today, and maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'd love to be a part of a family where I'm being prayed for, where I'm being nourished, where I enjoy that connection, where I'm growing. But I don't even know if I'm a brother or sister yet. I don't know if I'm a part of the family of God. We talked about it last week at length, what it means to be in the family of God. And maybe you heard that and you're back today and you're thinking, man, I didn't respond last week, but I really need to respond. God's really been wrestling with me all week, and I really want to know what it means to be part of the family of God. We talked about it last week, of placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did when we could not do anything for ourselves, of who he is and his death and resurrection, and turning from where you are and trusting to trust in him for salvation. If that's you today, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to share with you what that means and what that looks like. But maybe you're here today, and maybe, you know, you didn't prepare your heart for this, but you know after what you heard, man, this sounds right. And you know what? It is right, because it's right out of God's word. And maybe you're beginning to feel that leading to pursue what is described today in Acts 2:42 in a special way in the life of this church. You say, you know what? I really want to be a part of something like that. Maybe today you say, pray that God would give you wisdom to know what that looks like. Maybe you want to pray here at the front. Say, you know what? I don't know what this looks like yet, and I don't know what the crazy preacher's trying to do, but I know something's going on, and I want to avail myself to that. I want to surrender to that. We'd be happy to pray with you to that end. Maybe God's leading in your life in a special way, another decision or something you'd like prayer for, something's been on your heart, and we just talked about being devoted in prayer, and you think, oh, maybe not, you know what? But again, maybe today God's leading you saying, you know, I just need to pray. I'm going to make myself uncomfortable right now. I'm going to devote myself to prayer. And maybe it's at your seat. Maybe you want to kneel at your seat. You come up here. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. I'll be here at the front. But let's continue to, in a prayerful tone, as we stand and sing in a few moments, as you respond, consider what God would have us do as a church body, as we seek to pursue discipleship, as we're making disciples, seeing folks that we come across in our world become friends that we grow into know and love, but to see them part of the family of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, the growing, developing, nurturing family that is devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that your word holds no punches. Lord, I'm utterly convicted. Lord, I so desire to see so much. And I'm woefully aware of the fact that I can't accomplish what it is that I believe you want to see here in my own power. Regardless of my words chosen, regardless of what efforts I plan, Lord, it's not me that does any of the heavy lifting here. It's only you. So, Lord, would your spirit move in a mighty way? Would it challenge our comfort zone? And Lord, would it call us to what you would have us pursue as your body, as we seek to be about making disciples, which is our mission? Lord, may you call us, just as you call us to yourself in salvation, to devote ourselves to these things that were so integral to the growth and development of the church then. But Lord, we trust that they can do the same for the church today. Lord, I pray that you would move in this place. Lord, that people respond according to your will for their lives. Be it for prayer, be it for encouragement, be it for salvation, whatever, Lord, have your way, we ask. And we will be careful to give you all the glory as we offer all of these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.